When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, this Long Island serial killer case, the Gilgo Beach case, however what you want to call it, Rex Heumann, who is the person currently under arrest, who just yesterday was indicted from homicide 5 and homicide 6. And just the two new victims, Jessica Taylor on the top of this thumbnail, and Sandra Castilla, who we as followers of this case, diligently reading everything and following the case, had no idea that a Jennifer Castilla existed. And what we find out is that she was found in Southampton, past Manorville. But the scary thing about when and where she was found is that she was found in 1993. Her remains were found. Now, that makes Rex Heumann, who was 60 years old, that makes him 29 years old at the time of Sandra Castilla, her murder. So, according to some serial killer experts, the average age that a serial killer starts his killing is the age of 26. That's according to Dr. Gary Brancato. So these learned men that study this horrific field of serial killing, that is amazing. The fact that now we know Rex Heumann goes back to the year 1993. Does that unnerve anyone? Does that make anyone listening nervous, scared about what we may also find out, that he's involved in additional murders? At first, Sandra Castillo was thought to have been murdered by this man on the screen, John Bitroff. But when they discovered the link to Rex Heumann, is that Rex Heumann lived with a woman in 1992-93, prior to this murder of Sandra Castillo. And a hair from this woman, matched to this woman, was found under the body of Sandra Castillo. I mean, powerful, powerful evidence. But just think that this evidence was available, but we did not have the technology to match it up to another human being. So that in itself is incredible. And I think we sometimes take science and technology for granted. And when we realize science in this world is affecting our lives in every aspect, including law enforcement. And I think we are all thrilled to know that law enforcement is able to utilize technology and science to catch really evil people in this world. And I think we all know that this man on the screen, based on what we read in the most recent, well, we knew the first bail application document that was put out almost a year ago, we read some really disturbing things in there. But I think what we previously read on that 32-page document, now we have a 37-page document that really outlines the spookiness, the scariness, the diabolical evil of this man that you see on the screen. And we're going to get into this afternoon, because yesterday I think we just scratched the surface. And as we know, there are so many twists and turns in this case. In fact, Rex Schuman's attorney, Michael Brown, he maintains, or did maintain up until yesterday, that his client, and there you see Michael Brown on the screen, his client maintains his innocence. Now, when you hear that, you almost want to laugh out loud at that statement when you see the amount of evidence that the Gilgo Beach Task Force has against this 6'6", 300-pound ogre, and we could call him that, this demon, as Rodney Harrison, the former Suffolk County Police Commissioner, said. So, folks, hang on to your seats. Hang on to your hats. Hang on to your service dog. Hug your wife. Grab your children. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant, Michael Biden.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
You know, in our system, it says that a defendant is innocent until proven guilty. And that's our system. And we are Americans, and we all agree with those rights, the rights that the accused is afforded in our system. But when you hear and see just horrific evidence and track the trailers full of evidence against this Rex Uerman, who you see up on the screen, it's very difficult to give the benefit of the doubt. But he's going to get a fair trial. And, you know, we spoke about last night when I was on the show with retired NYPD Detective Phil Grimaldi, retired NYPD Sergeant Michael Geary. We talked about what if New York State had a death penalty? Could and would have that been used to negotiate a plea deal? Or, because of the narcissistic nature of a serial killer, would he have rolled the dice and wanted his day in court? It's about him. It's about innocent Rex Schuman that's going to take this case to trial no matter what. Absolutely, 100%. Now he's going to take this case to trial. And if and when, in my opinion, he's found guilty, will he then talk to the police and come clean with everything he's done in his evil, despicable, bad life that he's led? Will we hear about that? This is his attorney speaking, making a statement yesterday. And this is, of course, Michael Brown,
It's obviously horrific, and it's a difficult thing to defend. Now we're at six.
17 years of terror on Long Island. Two new victims added to the suspected Gilgo Beach serial killer's hit list. The chilling evidence investigators now say they've uncovered. That is where we begin tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm Natalie Pasquarella.
And I'm Chuck Scarborough. Disturbing and shocking new twists in the Gilgo Beach murders. The 60-year-old New York architect, already accused of killing four women, is now accused of killing two more.
Jessica Taylor and Sandra Costilla, the latest victims. Costilla not publicly associated with this case until now. Her murder extends the timeline of brutal Long Island killings all the way back to 1993. The last known victim of the Gilgo serial killer disappeared in 2010.
Police revealed morbid new details today of the alleged serial killer's meticulous planning, including making lists of potential problems that could trip him up and how effectively to dispose of his victims. This was Greg Sergelis live in Riverhead with all of this for us. Greg?
Chuck, Natalie, as you guys pointed out, this murder investigation has taken some turns over the last couple of months with new police searches at Rex Uhrman's home and in the woods of Manorville. Today, prosecutors revealed why those searches were ordered. It's all the result of an unexpected discovery that has changed the direction of this case.
Alleged serial killer Rex Uhrman stood silently in court today as prosecutors told a judge they had discovered a chilling computer document. Suffolk DA called it Rex Uhrman's blueprint for murder.
His intent was specifically to locate these victims, to hunt them down, and to bring them under his control.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And to kill them.
The DA says the actual Gilgo murders match to a large degree what's written in that document. It was found on a Uhrman laptop after prosecutors say he tried to delete it. One note there reads, "More sleep and noise control equals more playtime."
You've already made that assumption that he's the one who drafted it and he's the one who created it. I don't know that.
Uhrman's lawyer must now defend.
You know, I love that. And what else does he have to hang his hat on? He doesn't know who created it. He doesn't know if it's his. It's on his computer, which he attempted to hide everything by deleting it. You know, it's part of his MO, right? It is his. It is 100% his. I think a jury will believe 100% it's his. It's consistent with his behavior. It's consistent with his profession, being an architect, to be a planner, to write things down. So No one's going to believe Michael Brown when he says, I can't verify it's his. Please stop.
And his client against six murder charges, the so-called Gilgo Four, and two other women identified in court today.
Jessica, my darling daughter, you will never be forgotten.
Lawyer Gloria Allred read a statement written by the mother of Jessica Taylor. Today, Rex Uhrman was charged with Taylor's 2003 murder and the 1993 murder of Sandra Costilla, a woman not previously linked to the Gilgo case. Prosecutors say strands of hair found with the bodies of each new victim have been tied to Uhrman through multiple DNA tests.
I can't express what this day means after waiting and hoping for answers.
Suffolk's DA said again today, Rex Uhrman acted alone, and he confirmed that items taken from Uhrman's home last month are now being tested to determine if the murders were carried out there while Uhrman's family was away.
The investigation continues. The investigation has been expanded both to the bodies that were found on Gilgo and beyond.
The DA also said today that Rex Uhrman is now a suspect in the murder of another Gilgo victim, Valerie Mack. Late today, the lawyer for Huerman's estranged wife released a statement saying that Asa Ellerup continues to doubt that her husband is capable of these heinous acts.
Another ridiculous statement given by an attorney who is not believable, Robert Macedonio, representing Asa Ellerup, Rex Uhrman's wife, who got $1 million to do a documentary. Nothing that he says is believable. I mean, it's just typical lawyer bullshit speak. You know, the wife, he's been indicted for six murders. The wife still doesn't believe he was capable. Please stop it. I mean, you're insulting our intelligence. And if you go with that narrative, you'll be insulting the jury's intelligence.
Uhrman will be back in court in July. We're in Riverhead.
So, you know, I can't. What we found out yesterday, you know, when you're doing an investigation, and a very complex investigation like this, and you work so hard, you collect evidence, and things aren't as obvious to all of us looking in as they are to the Gilgo Beach Task Force, who actually must do this work, collect evidence, examine evidence. In these cases, one of the things that was mind-boggling is that Rex Uhrman had 275 electronic devices, some of which computer experts, phone experts have to figure out how to get into them because they're encrypted. And that Word document, somehow someone figured out how to get into that and gold. They struck gold with that because that, as a piece of evidence, they call it a planning document to commit murder. Just like here, you see this document on the screen. He outlines problems in committing murder. DNA, leaving DNA, tire marks, blood stains, fingerprints, witnesses, trace source of supplies, foot, shoe prints, misleaders, police stop, truck stop, fingerprints in gloves. So he's worried already about, he's obviously using gloves to hide his fingerprints, but he's worrying about leaving his own fingerprints in those gloves that apparently he will dispose of. Plastic bags matched to box, hair and fiber. Look at the supplies he's bringing to these encounters, we'll call them. Booties, lye, acid, police scanner, rope, cord, saw cutting tools, hair nets, photo, film. What is that for? Obviously, he was taking pictures of his horrific work. Burn can, foam drain cleaner, body wash wipes, tarps, drop cloths, medical gloves, bags, tape, large electric clips, ratchet cargo strap. Dump site, the DS stands for dump site in this report. And the other one, dump site one, dump site two. I mean, just horrific that we now can see what was in his mind and the diabolical planning that this individual did. Just absolutely outrageous. And again, this was all, of course, begun, or at least the first four arrests were the women that you see up on that screen, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. And then added to that, of course, just yesterday, Jessica Taylor and Sandra Costilla. And that evil ogre in the middle of that thumbnail, Rex Schumann, who two more victims of Gilgo serial killer, Rex Schumann, and I could throw alleged serial killer Rex Schumann in that picture. So what we want to ask, questions we want to ask is, how many more? How many more bodies are they going to discover? And I think there's no doubt in any of our minds that they're going to connect Rex Schumann. This could be number seven, Valerie Mack. I think there's no doubt, based on where the body was recovered, based on MO, based on signature, that Valerie Mack is one of Rex Schumann's victims. And look, Ray Tierney is in no rush. He can take his time. The Gilgo Beach Task Force can take their time, because the speedy trial is not an issue because the defense waived it, right? So when Michael Brown feels as though he's ready to go to trial, the judge will allow him almost as much time as he needs to go over what we know to be voluminous, voluminous amounts of evidence. Of Miney from the chat, if I'm correct, Rex has to be convicted to enter into the database so they can look into missing women around those time periods of those women's and pull those cases and see if it matches. Miney, that, yes, I believe to put his DNA profile into CODIS, I think that they do need... They do need it to be in, he needs to be convicted, a convicted felon. However, I believe based on probable cause, they could get a judge's order to compare an exemplar of his DNA against potentially other victims that they believe, they think match Rex Schumann's modus operandi, his signature. And, you know, we mentioned, whether he was an organized or disorganized offender. And he has many, many traits of an organized offender, but he also has quite a few traits of a disorganized offender. And one of the traits of a disorganized offender is dismemberment. And now, since Rex Schumann has been connected to the second, the fifth and the sixth murder of Jessica Taylor and Sandra Costilla, that we know they were dismembered. In fact, in the case of Jessica Taylor, he did a classic serial killer thing, and then he tried to cut off or scrape off a tattoo that she had on her hip. Since that tattoo was an identifier, and he apparently did not do a good job at it, because that tattoo was how they identified her. So we are learning things every single day, and the amount of evidence that they have against Rex Schumann, we don't even know the half of it, and either do I believe does Michael Brown, his attorney. Ray Tierney last night went on News Nation with Chris Cuomo. I want to play a little bit of this, because even though this case now, we know more than we knew more than we knew yesterday, didn't we? Or the day before, the week before that. Starting out with the Manorville search, we were all raised up. What's happening? What are they looking for? Are there more bodies? To the fact that they went back and did a second search warrant in Massapequa Park at Rex Schumann's home. So let's see what Ray Tierney has to say on Chris Cuomo's show on News Nation.
You know, I know that Laura described it as a gasp, but these are murders. I don't have to tell you, you've lived it, but these are murders that have haunted the area that people thought they'd never get answers to. What does today mean in terms of where you believe you are in the investigation of the unknown cases?
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. I think today was, a big day because ever since we initially indicted the case, we said we were going to prosecute, investigate the Gilgo Four. And then once we charged those cases, we were going to move on to the other bodies on Gilgo and then off. And so what you see with Jessica Taylor and Sandra Castilla, you see that come to fruition. So these are allegations. We look forward to proving them in court. But we have been able to, move the case off of the Gilgo Four and move it forward.
So help us understand, when there was that second massive search of the house, okay, it was confusing to the rest of us. It's like, well, wait a minute, didn't they do this already? What triggered you to go back in such large scale a second time?
Well, as we expanded the investigation and continued the investigation, different facts came to light, one of which was the planning document. So taking that that information, we followed the evidence and we took the necessary investigative steps. Those steps included doing the search out east with the canine units, as well as researching, doing a research of the defendant's house.
Describe to me how that document was discovered and what it, how it was reacted to.
So, there's, as you said, well over 300 electronic devices that we have to search, many of which are encrypted, many of which are old, so you have to get the proper software. So we were going through that sort of meticulously, and this particular document was erased, so we had to get it out of unallocated space on the computer through with forensic software. And once we were able to retrieve it and look at it, we knew that this was a significant document because it really evinces, our allegation is that it evinces the intent of the defendant to, fact, commit the six murders.
Okay, so two questions. The two that are charged today, they were found dismembered. The other bodies weren't, and that leads to a suggestion that it is a different MO. It would be a different murderer. Why do you believe it's the same?
So just to make clear, Jessica Taylor was dismembered, her heads her hands and her head, and Sandra Castilla was mutilated but not dismembered. So that's a little different. I do think that over a time, any criminal's modus operandi will change. And the other thing to keep in mind with regard to the Gilgo Four, when they were recovered, a lot of time had elapsed. So they were largely, if not completely, skeletonized. So we did not have as much information available to us with the Gilgo Four as we did with Ms. Taylor and Ms. Castilla.
You know, Chris Cuomo asked a very good question there, and this is what throws off investigators. This is what threw me off. This is what throws off many people. When we look at Rex Schumann's modus operandi, his signature, and his staging of a crime scene, going back to 1993, to the murder of Sandra Castilla, who we see in this document, he featured unbridled violence, something that we didn't see late in his later murders. 25 post-mortem stab wounds on Sandra Castillo. 25. And I won't get into what that means, but we've had serial killer experts on the show, specifically Dr. Joni Johnson, who said that Rex Schumann is a psychopath, a psychosexual deviant, who gets pleasure out of other people's pain. So when we hear about the methodology behind this poor woman, Sandra Castilla, and in addition, Jessica Taylor, and probably added to this Valerie Mack, we all just hope and pray that the Gilgo Beach Task Force, and they are, they're doing an exemplary, amazing, outstanding job. This guy's nailed. I don't care if they give him the dream team from the O.J. Simpson case. He's done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
So much evidence against this guy. That's why when I hear that Robert Macedonio, the attorney for Asa Ellerup, Rex Heumann's wife, says she still can't believe he did. Come on, stop it. It's not even funny. It's not even believable that you say that. While his wife signed a 7-figure deal to do a documentary. You can't make this stuff up.
So New York law is a little peculiar. People are used to first-degree murder, meaning intentional murder. Here it's different. It's almost always public officials, peace officers, firefighters. But then the last provision is basically what people will know as felony murder, wherever they are. And you did charge that with some, but not all. And felony murder would mean that you believe this was part of a kidnapping, a sexual assault, and then he murdered them in furtherance of that crime. Why not with these two?
So what we were able to charge with the murder one statute is if you commit more than one murder within a given time, 18 months, you could charge it as a murder one as opposed to the standard murdered second. So we have murders in one murder in charged murder in 1993, 2003, 2007. And then we have the three murders in 2009 and two in 2010. So with regard to those last three murders, we were able to charge the murder one statute because it happened so close in time. And those are the murders of Melissa Bartholomew, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello.
So, Ray, the really vexing question right now is, what do you think, Mr. District Attorney, he's been doing from 2014 until today?
Well, you know, we more than think we've been able, we've done with great investigators and great teamwork, we've been able to piece together a lot of information. So we don't talk about what we think, we talk about what we can prove. Up to now, this is what we have with regard to these six cases, these six allegations, which we look forward to proving. But we're just going to have to keep on working through the evidence, and then we'll speak through our indictments like we have since the very beginning.
Is there reasonable suspicion or probable cause at this point to believe that it is worth investigating if Rex Heumann was active as a serial killer beyond these six victims, beyond 2014?
Oh, you know, there is nothing, we said we were going to expand the investigation, and there's nothing off limits. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue to investigate. We're going to continue to follow the evidence to its conclusion, and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Is Heumann giving any indication that he might talk?
You know, he's represented through counsel, and we operate as we're required to do through his counsel. So,
you know, that's, you know, Chris Cuomo is an attorney, and or he has a law degree. I'm not saying you're not just an attorney because you got a law degree, but he has a law degree. Now, he knows that Rex Heumann is represented by counsel. That means the district attorney and the police or any investigator is not allowed to interview him. And no attorney representing someone who's a serial killer is going to agree to have his client interviewed by a district attorney or police unless under two circumstances. One, there is a deal cut. He pleads guilty. And the deal to pleading guilty, I don't know what they can offer him. He can't be offered any less than life, 20 life sentences without the possibility of parole. And how can they vet? They have to vet what he tells them. Once we heard about, well, yesterday's two murders and potentially a third one will be coming, which will be indictment number 7, once they arrest him for Valerie Mack. How many more bodies are they going to be able to connect to Rex Heuermann? And I don't see Rex Heuermann talking. Perhaps this would be the only time he would talk. He goes to trial, he gets convicted, and he's, you know, facing whatever, 5, 10 life terms without parole, that he may want to come clean at that point. Perhaps for some consideration, better accommodations, more privileges, whatever it may be within the prison system. But no one's cutting this guy a deal, because if New York State had the death penalty, I think that's what Ray Tierney would be seeking. And even just as a bargaining chip, the death penalty is worth it to have, because right now they have nothing to bargain with. They have nothing to deal with Michael Brown, Rex Heuermann's attorney, and Rex Heuermann. They have nothing to cut a deal with.
Well, again, we'll continue to do our job, and we won't worry about what he's doing.
My understanding is that there is no further involvement of the wife at this point in the investigation. Is that true?
You know, what has been made clear with regard to all 6 of the charged murders, that during the time of the commission of the murders, as well as the disappearance, the family was out of town. So I think there's no evidence that there was any co-conspirators. And certainly it appears from all the evidence thus far that the defendant acted alone.
Now, Ray, you have a great reputation, as you know, and the audience should know. I live in your county, but you're a very calm guy. How surprised are you on a personal level that cases that people thought were never going to be figured out are all of a sudden coming to light on your watch?
You know, I'm not surprised at all. You know, you're always, as investigators and prosecutors, you're always you're always optimistic. And I think if you bring really talented people together and you work together collaboratively with other agencies and other talented people, good things inevitably happen. So while, you know, when I got into office, I had no idea. I was optimistic and hopeful that we would be able to bring some results.
But do you know that there are more open cases out there that he could be linked to, right?
There are a lot of open cases, not only in our jurisdiction, but in every jurisdiction. And, you know, I think the way we work this, and everybody, you know, talks about, well, is the Gilgo Task Force going to look at this murder? You know, we do it through the auspices of these investigators, but we take each murder by itself, and we don't come with any preconceived notions or preconceptions. We just follow the evidence to its logical conclusion, and hopefully we get to the result where we can speak through an indictment.
Well, look, the more closure you can provide, the more communities can rest, the more families can finally have some peace with what happened to their loved ones. District Attorney Tierney, thank you very much for making time.
So, you know, incredible. And, you know, when we think about the Gilgo Beach investigation, it goes back, now we know, to 1993 when Rex Heuermann was 29 years old. Just like absolutely. So now what does that tell us? Well, that tells us it could go back to much earlier than that. And according to serial killer expert Dr. Gary Brancato, he says that the average age when a serial killer starts his career, for lack of a better word, is 26. So Rex Heuermann was 29. The other things we have to ask is the whole connection with the escorts. Is that all part of the personality, of the psyche of a serial killer, that he is targeting women from this profession? Is it, I think, as we have suggested, as I think, as Dr. Joni Johnson, great serial killer expert, said, that Rex Heuermann is a psychosexual sadist. And he gets thrills. He gets off on the pain of others. Note this. He called the sister of one of the victims with her phone and told her what he had done to her sister, just to get off on causing someone else pain. So that's what we're dealing with this 6'6", 300-pound ogre. He looks, even in that picture, I mean, I know we know who he is. And if we didn't know who he was, would we still say he looks evil? He looks like he has empty eyes. His eyes just stare straight forward. Or would we say he just looks like a normal human being that just happens to be an architect, owns his own company in New York City, a family, a house that none of us would ever want to enter or own, a house that belies the disorganized part of a serial killer's personality, a house that literally looks like it's ready to fall down, the home of an architect that looks like it doesn't belong to an architect of all people, the way that home looks. And that's just the back. Look at the front of this place. 2x4s holding up the roof. The roof looks like, it looks like he needs a new roof too. And we can't even imagine what the interior of that home looks like. And is that part of a disorganized serial killer's personality? How about the other family members that lived within that house with him? Did Asa Ellerup, Rex Heuermann's wife, just put up with his lifestyle and not notice that he was never around, that he was always going out? How about those 275 electronic devices he has? I mean, I don't know anyone that has that amount of electronic devices. Phones, laptops, Blackberries. Remember Blackberries? All of those things that are evidence, and that many of the electronic devices, the task force has not been able to gain entry to because they're encrypted. Don't forget the document that his planning document, which was a Word document, he tried to erase it. He tried to destroy it. He was unsuccessful, and the investigators were able to recover this document. And there were signs that he tried to erase it. He tried to erase his hard drive. You know, in the book that he uses as called The Cases That Haunt Us, written by FBI agent John Douglas and Mark Olshacker, Rex Heuermann used that as a countermeasures document. Because here's an FBI agent talking about how they catch serial killers, and Rex Heuermann used that as a how to not get caught. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right location. And if you're not subscribed to us, hit that thumbs up, hit the like button, ring the bell, share us with your friends and your family. We are less than 300 from 70,000 subscribers. That's a big milestone for me. I feel like I should have 200,000 subscribers, but I'm building one brick at a time, and you guys can help me by being one of the bricks. Hate to use that analogy, but we're just shy of 70,000.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Subscribers, and we're going to hit that, of course, hopefully today, maybe tomorrow, but certainly this week. So also, if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels. And we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. And the channel membership is exploding because of you guys, because a lot of you generous people who have been buying memberships and donating them to people in the chat, which I think, thank you so much. It's grown the YouTube channel memberships by like 70% this month. So thank you so much for doing that. The document, of course, that they're all referring to, and that, of course, is the bail application document that was just updated yesterday. It's now 37 pages long. It starts with the first 6 or 7 pages of the old bail application document, but adds the new material, the new homicides. And he lists so many things. He gives hints into, you know, with his document of the how-to document. This is page 22. Based on the Gilgo Homicide Task Force training and experience, the members believe problems to be a guide on issues to avoid apprehension, supplies to be a reference to what supplies are needed to carry out the serial murders to avoid apprehension, and to avoid leaving behind DNA. This is in Rex Uhrman's planning document. It's been named that. And he lists problem supplies. DS, an abbreviation, refers to dump site. Just horrific. The discoveries of Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor at two separate dump sites in the vicinity of Mill Road and Ocean Parkway. Under that same heading is a note regarding dumpster sites, which the task force members believe is a reference to how Uhrman disposed of physical evidence in the manner described. TRG appears to be a reference to target or victim. It is important to note that he liked petite women, which is consistent with the small is good entry in the document, lending further support to the aforementioned conclusion that TRG refers to victims or targets. With regards to dump site DS section of the document, it's important to note that the human remains of Jessica Taylor discovered in 2003, as well as the remains of Valerie Mack discovered in 2000, were dumped in two locations. One of those locations being the vicinity of Mill Road, which is listed as DS1 Mill Road, dump site number one, in the above word document. On March 29, 2011, Miss Taylor's torso, skull, and hands were recovered near Ocean Parkway at a second dump site. On April 4, 2011, Miss Mack's skull, hands, and right foot were also recovered near Ocean Parkway, also a second dump site. The recent discovery of this document prompted the April 2024 cadaver search of the Manorville area, which did not yield. Let me just put the picture up on the screen. The recent discovery of the document prompted the April 2024 cadaver search of the Manorville area, which did not yield the recovery of additional sets of human remains, thereby reinforcing the task force members' belief that The HK planning document refers to Uman's preparation for either Jessica Taylor or Valerie Mack. This is in the bail application report. The HK planning document on Uman's computer then delves into three category sections with the headings pre-prep, prep, and post-event. He lists pre-prep, vehicle inspection. Well, we all know you better get your vehicle inspected, because if a police officer drives by you and he doesn't see the appropriate sticker, you're going to get stopped and given a summons. But if Rex Uman is transporting a body or body parts, the last thing he can do is get pulled over for a traffic stop. Engage target number one. Recon dump site number one. Locate dump site number two. Weather report. Recon video cams. Recon pickup zone for video cams. So he's doing things to make sure he does not get caught. Recon, checking out the situation. The dump site, are there any video cameras around? He even said that he, after he committed these horrific crimes, he would change the tires on his car because tire prints left at the dump site could identify him. So he went through all of these precautions so as not to get caught. He puts as a section on this document called prep. Set up stage, holding area, build table, crossbar, hard point. Apparently the crossbar was to put underneath the table so that it could hold more weight. Use your imagination what the weight was from. And he lists something called hard point. And apparently hard point was he would put a device into the ceiling with a rope that could suspend a human being from that. All of this is in these document. Post-event, destroy file, change tires, burn glove, dispose of picks, have story set. So these all, if you, this document is available. I believe you could probably Google it, and it's called the Rex Uman bail application document. And it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating what is in this report, but it also is somewhat scary, you know, to think that this is what this individual, has done to these women. It's just really difficult to understand the evilness in a perpetrator like this. But what it also underlines to us is just how good this task force is. Because let's think of it. Well, they're going to go attack Chief Burke. That's going to be Rex Uman's defense. Undoubtedly, Michael Brown has already stated that. But the Gilgo Beach Task Force was started approximately 2 years ago. And in those 2 years, they identified Rex Uman. They've arrested him for six murders, a seventh one on the horizon. They've built a solid, solid evidentiary case with unbelievable evidence that we had no idea could even be collected years ago, because scientifically, some of this evidence that they collected now and identified now was not doable years ago. Diane Yount, I think the investigators will get into much more of his electronic devices. Rex thought he was super capable, and they are busting him down. Yes, it's amazing when the countermeasures he used to try not to get caught. Tiff Knox from the chat. He surely controls his entire family with fear and finances. He's a scary dude. I have sympathy for his wife. God knows what she has endured. We just have no idea how they lived. I think, Tiff Knox, you're absolutely right. Diane Webb, I was married to an architect and no longer am, because he was an OCD perfectionist and so were his architect friends. You know, Diane, it's true that some professions come with sets of attributes and I guess, necessary to thrive in a certain profession. You have to have certain characteristics that allow you to perform that profession at the highest level. And I always point to engineers. Engineers, and of course, McHugh's not an engineer, he's an architect, but engineers have very specific personalities. They want everything to make sense. They can figure out everything mathematically. And that's part of their personality. And engineers, you know, they have that part of their brain that they have to understand things. And if they don't, they get extremely frustrated. So you're absolutely right. Rex Heumann, being an architect, was a planning guy, a guy who made lists, a guy who was very smart, a guy who was a thinker in regards to prepping to not get caught. Exeter line from the chat, Exeter line 1930, hoarding. That's the least of her trouble. I would be in the corner crying. I would need some heavy-duty medication if I was Asa Ellerup. I just don't believe any of the what the attorneys say. I never really believed that. Anna Karina, Rex had James Burke around. Rex was not a mastermind. Well, there's no evidence of that whatsoever, Anna. But that will be the defense, that that Rex was involved with Chief James Burke. But there's absolutely no evidence. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people when this case goes to trial to try to muddy the waters, to try to make it look, to try to create doubt. And that's an attorney's job. Moose Girl, 08, if he was doing it at hotels, that would be reported to law enforcement unless he was really good at cleaning. You know, we spoke about yesterday, guys, and when I had retired NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce on the other night, he was the first one that said unequivocally that the murder location was inside Rex Heumann's house. And I 100% agree with that assessment. Now, did they find blood? Well, we know they found hairs connected to that house. But they went back to look at things based on the document, the Word document. And when he spoke about putting something in the ceiling, there should be a mark somewhere where that was. You may think, oh, very small piece of evidence. But if he talks about it in his planning document and you find the hole, you find some of the equipment that he used, because we know they were there a year ago. They took out truckloads of evidence. So now they have a document. Thank you, Rex Heumann, for writing down everything. Thank you that you're OCD, that you use a planning document to kill human beings, and that the police found it. And now they're going to compare that document to the evidence they took out. So thank you, Rex Heumann, for being the psychotic that you are, that wrote down things like that, that are going to tremendously help this investigation.
Later this week, and newspaper tonight reporting he's expected to be charged with another murder. So far, Heumann has been charged with the killings of four women.
Well, this news comes as investigators search Heumann's home again late last month. Eyewitness News reporter Darla Miles is live in Massapequa Park with our lead story. Darla.
Liz, Bill, these potential new charges come just 1 week after investigators concluded a search of the Rex Heumann home here in Massapequa Park. And what we learned on Thursday may solve murders that took place 23 years ago, a decade before any remains were found on Gilgo Beach.
The rumors have been swirling for the past couple of weeks since the district attorney's office went back in 2.5 weeks ago and started executing the second search warrant at the house.
Two searches in 2 months, a wooded area in Manorville and the Massapequa Park home of Rex Heumann. A new indictment against the 60-year-old architect expected to be unsealed Thursday, according to Newsday. And while he's charged in the deaths of the Gilgo Four, six of the murders remain unsolved.
Primary focus, again, in that basement, in that vault where the guns were kept, and also that little room. It's about a 12 by 12 room right outside that gun vault.
The new anticipated charges possibly connected to several April searches of a wooded area in Manorville. The dismembered remains of Valerie Mack were located there in November 2000. In July 2003, the dismembered remains of Jessica Taylor were located in the same wooded area. Then in March 2011, more of Taylor's partial remains were found on Gilgo Beach. In April 2011, more of Mack's dismembered remains were discovered on Gilgo Beach, but she wouldn't be identified until May 2020.
Well, look at these cases, and I'm looking at those two ladies right now. Is this part of that? It seems to be.
After the initial search of Huerman's home last summer, his wife releasing these photos saying investigators destroyed their home.
I think this time they went back in more with a forensic approach to see if they could obtain any kind of DNA or any kind of forensic evidence linking wrecks to any of the bodies that have been, you know, reported the media as missing over the last 10 to 15 years.
As for the Suffolk County District Attorney on any potential new developments.
There were a number of necessary investigative steps that were taken. You pointed out just some of them. And, you know, Thursday, you will see the fruits of that investigation.
So at this point, Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney only saying that there is a proceeding scheduled for Thursday morning. That will be in Riverhead. Rex Huerman is expected to be there.
So we all know yesterday was he was arraigned on two more murder charges. Just absolutely incredible. Brian Hargrove from the chat, thank you for the $4.99 super sticker. Sedona Skies, Secret Life. Austin D, I have a strong feeling that Huerman is responsible for all of the victims found. There's likely more burial grounds yet to be found. Austin D, I 100% agree with you, and I'm now a true believer. At first, I thought there was at least two killers in these Gilgo Beach cases, but I think it's clear that it's probably all Rex Huerman. Just incredible. Because one of the things that threw me off, and, you know, when I make mistakes, I own up to them, because I am no serial killer expert. And there are those out there. But modus operandi is something that you see as a law enforcement officer, if you're an investigator, in all kinds of different crimes, whether it be robbery, burglary, sex offenders, killers. Modus operandi is how the criminal does his crime. Modus operandi obviously is Latin. It stands for method of operation. And criminals are reluctant to deviate from their modus operandi, but that's apparently not 100% true. Because if we look at Rex Huerman's modus operandi in the two murders that he was indicted for yesterday, totally different, right? In the case of Sandra Castilla, post-mortem, 25 stab wounds. How the bodies were tied up as if a hunter. That was the quote they said. It was if a hunter tied up these bodies. That's what we were dealing with. So that was one of the reasons I thought it was, in the very beginning, I thought it was more than one killer. And of course, we never want to forget the Gilgo Four that are on the screen right now. Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. And, you know, we can raise the name of Shannon Gilbert. And even though her case has not been attributed to Rex Huerman, the fact that Shannon Gilbert's case happened is a good indication that, all the bodies, these bodies were found. She was the catalyst that helped find these four bodies right here. Shannon Gilbert. So, yeah, it's an amazing, and it's an amazing, amazing case. But, you know, just incredible. You know, we had about a year or more ago, we had Dr. Joni Johnson on. And I'm going to play a little bit of her analysis of who Rex Heuermann is or was in her interview on our show. Let me put it up on the screen right now. And she's absolutely brilliant. She's a brilliant serial killer expert, and I'll put her up on the screen right now.
In there, but you're absolutely right. He's got a nice shirt. He's, you know, in Manhattan. He's doing a business interview. If we didn't know the context, we would think, yeah, this is just a successful businessman who's doing an interview about his business.
And Dr. Joni, in the world of serial killers, and this is very, to put it very simply, there's organized offenders and there's disorganized offenders. And an organized offender is usually one who owns a car, owns a house, is financially independent, is educated, is articulate, can travel around, just fits in with mainstream society. I think we would say that Rex Heuermann is an organized offender, but with signs of disorganization. Would you comment upon that?
Yeah, it's interesting because the comments that we've gotten from his neighbors, and then looking, for example, the contrast between his home and the appearance of his home and in his business and how polished he looks in that, you know, in that picture, there is kind of a disconnect there, you know? And so we do kind of think, yeah. And it's interesting, Bill, because you're right. The earliest classifications for serial killers was organized versus disorganized. And I think as the years have gone by, we've realized that most serial killers are organized to some extent, or they wouldn't be able to be a serial killer, right? So there's some degree of organization. And then and also that even the most organized serial killer, given the right circumstances with the opportunity that's there, may become disorganized in terms of grabbing a victim just because they can. So I think that distinction has become a little bit blurred, but I think it is useful because we can talk about somebody who's, for example, married, has a home, has a business, is not somebody who's going to be necessarily snatching people off the street or hitting them with a hammer in the subway.
But at the same time, he displayed some attributes and of a disorganized offender. And specifically, I'm going to point to something that occurred very recently. A woman made a police report against him. I believe it was just it was July 3rd in a park in Massapequa, where this large man popped out of the woods and started asking her like creepy questions. And she was so creeped out that she got away from him as quickly as she could. But she made a police report. That's how creeped out she was about this guy. And then when she saw he was arrested and she saw who it was, she was like, that's the guy who approached me in this park. So, Doc, my question to you is, he was still working, wasn't he? He was still plying his trade.
You know, I will be very surprised if we find out that the last victim was killed in 2011 or 2012. Mm-hmm. And it's not because serial killers cannot stop, because we used to think unless they were incarcerated, unless they, you know, died, you know, unless something drastic happened, they would never stop killing on their own. We know that's not true. There have been serial killers who've taken long periods of time where they stopped. We know the Golden State Killer, for example, Joseph DeAngelo, quit, you know, 20 years before he was caught. So it's not that serial killers don't stop, but when we read things like this person is still using a burner phones, this person is still contacting people who are engaging in sex work, that is what concerns me, because I'm not familiar, you know, the research does not support, you know, that there are sexually motivated serial killers who continue to do part of their job, and I'm putting that job in quotation marks, of course, but not the rest of it. That would be very, very atypical. So that does concern me. I mean, I would be very interested in knowing if he's been involved with, you know, with women who are engaging in sex work and has not killed them, what their experience has been like with him. What is he doing?
That's a great point, you know, and
I wanted to also ask you about, as long, you know, we have you here and you're an expert on this and you've interviewed hundreds and thousands of people in, you know, serial killers and sex offenders.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
In prisons. MO, modus operandi, which for our folks that not familiar with Latin, I'm fluent in Latin. I know MO. No, modus operandi, which is simply method of operation. And then, doctor, if you would explain signature. And he has two very distinct modus operandi and signatures. And explain, please, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Joni. It's like being in your class. Please, Dr. Johnson. I pay $50,000 a year to study with you. Would you please explain the difference between modus operandi and signature?
Well, you really did a great introduction for there. In other words, you know, an MO is what they actually physically do to commit the crime, the way they do that. And the signature is not, it's more for psychological reasons. So, you know, I may strangle somebody because to overpower them, that would be perhaps part of an MO. But if I'm leaving that person with a red ribbon tied around their neck every time I kill them, or I'm stuffing a sock in their mouth, that is not a part of a crime. That is not necessarily hurting that person. It's not serving any kind of physical purpose. But for me, as the killer, it may have a very significant psychological meaning. And that's what a signature is. And it can be anything from laying a body out in a certain way, binding them in a certain way. I mean, you know, your imagination can run wild in terms of what a signature can be. But it's something that's added to a crime scene or taken away from a crime scene that has a personal meaning and serves some kind of psychological meaning to that perpetrator.
You know, Dr. Joni, I always found that perpetrators didn't like to deviate from their modus operandi. That was what made them comfortable, as you just said. And one of the signature things, I think, in this case with Rex Uhrman was the burlap, and they described it as like a camouflage type bag that he used to bind the victims. So that is definitely a signature of this defendant. Phil, what do you think?
Well, the burlap bag turned out to
I love Dr. Joni Johnson, and what a great assessment she gave on Rex Uhrman. And this was over a year ago that she gave it. And I know there's people in the chat mentioned Dr. Gary Bricado. I think he's great. One of the best I had on the show a while ago, and I'd like to get him back, is retired FBI agent Jim Clemente, who was a writer for the television show Criminal Minds. He's really good friends with a retired FBI agent, Bobby Chacon. If I can get him on the show, he is one of the best serial killer profilers in the world. And I will try to get him back on, but I knew that over a year ago I had Dr. Joni on, and I said, you know something, why don't I just use Dr. Joni, because we have her already on the show. And you know what she said? She said one of the things, she said she would be very surprised if his killing had started in 2011. And what did we just learn yesterday? Well, we found the victim from 1993, and we found the victim from 2003. And when he gets charged with Valerie Mack, she was killed in 2000. So Rex Heuermann is all over the map. He's killed all over the place. And these are the things that we are learning. Austin D, if you're Rex, they are disorganized. Disorganized, I don't know if you spelled it like that on purpose, but disorganized is, for a serial killer, it's I think a disorganized serial killer would have much higher chance of getting caught early on because he is disorganized. He is sloppy. And maybe happenstance prevent the disorganized serial killer from getting caught early on. But an organized one, as we see here with Rex Heuermann, planning, writing lists, carefully picking out the location where he's going to meet one of his potential victims, reconning the area that he's going to commit the crime on pick up his intended victim. Because as I said, I believe that the crime scene, the murder scene, was inside Rex Heuermann's home. I have almost no doubt that that's where it was. And it's many people, we don't know. People are saying, well, why is there no blood? Why is there no this? Why is there no that? Because he was meticulous. He laid down drop cloths. He cleaned up meticulously. He made lists of all the things he needed, and he threw out the remnants of the crime scene away from where the crime was committed. So these are things. In fact, he even looked for dump sites for evidence, evidentiary dump sites. So unbelievable, of the preparation, that he took before he committed this. Mountain Cat, I love Joni. We need to try to get her back for her post-bail hearing thoughts. Make that happen, Bill. Mountain Cat, I'm trying. You know something? I use my I use all my tools, my charm. I use my credentials. I use my reputation to get some of the best guests for you guys. But the best guests are busy, and other people try to use them too. So I actually asked Dr. Joni yesterday out of the blue. I just sent her an email. Are you available tonight at 9:30? And guess what? She wasn't. So I'll try again because Wild Z Pony, love to hear Dr. Joni now at Mountain K 100 Agree. Yeah, I love that. And, Dr. Joni also reminds me of Ashley Judd. She looks just like Ashley Judd, And every time she comes on the show, I always say, maybe your baby has got the blues. And she's like, what's that? I go, that's Ashley Judd. It's one of the Judd's tunes. So she appreciated that, I think. But she thought it was funny. But she's brilliant. And again, one of the real experts out there on serial killers. And what we know is when we look at this picture on the screen is that not all of these victims you see on the screen are and can be attributed to Rex Heuermann. But you see the row second from the top, excluding Shannon Gilbert. Well, Valerie Mack, the top right of this thumbnail, he will be getting charged with her, I think, rather shortly. I think they have the goods. They just don't perhaps have enough evidence that Ray Tierney is willing to pull the trigger on that one right now. But I believe very shortly we'll see indictment number 7 come down for the case of Valerie Mack.
Beach serial killer back in court and facing new charges for the murders of 2 more women. That brings the total number of Rex Heuermann's alleged victims to 6 over several decades. First arrested last July, investigators have since collected hundreds of electronic devices from the New York City architect's office, as well as his Long Island home. It includes a laptop with what they allege is Huerman's blueprint for killing. The disturbingly detailed planning document is broken into sections, according to the court documents. From perceived problems, including DNA, tire marks, and bloodstains, to a section for supplies. Prosecutors believe DS stands for dump site, and under TRG or target, he specified that small is good.
What does the detail of these planning documents speak to regarding Rex Huerman?
I think we would argue and we would allege that it speaks to his obsessiveness, his single-mindedness, and his constant planning with regard to how these murders best be executed, and perhaps most importantly of all, how could I avoid detection?
Avoiding detection with reminders to remove ID marks like tattoos, remove head and hands, and remove trace evidence like hair. Prosecutors say they linked Huerman to 5 of his 6 alleged victims through hair recovered on their bodies. A strategy Huerman's defense hopes to poke holes in as the 60-year-old father of 2 maintains his innocence.
Does it sound reasonable that one hair is going to be on a victim if you actually killed her? I would suggest no.
Sandra Castilla, one of the newly named victims, was killed in 1993, but had not been considered part of the Gilgo Beach investigation until recently. The other, Jessica Taylor, was murdered a decade later.
She was taken from us longer than the chance that she got to be alive. I can't express what this day means after waiting and hoping for answers.
And prosecutors say Huerman is the suspect in a 7th killing as well. The earliest murder he is now charged with, as I mentioned, was in 1993, which means investigators are looking at possible criminal activity spanning not just months or years, but actually decades. So even at this point, the investigation is expanding.
That's so sad. All right.
Unbelievable, right? So that's the murder of Sandra. Let me just put the picture up on the screen. The murder of Sandra Castilla, 1993, as I reported earlier, makes Rex Huerman 29 years old in 1993. Very scary that that's when he started committing these horrific crimes. And we also mentioned M.O., his modus operandi, and that has also changed a great deal over the years. And you can argue that it's similar, but you know, MO usually evolves. So it would seem that he was more violent in 1993 than he evolved to later. And perhaps part of that was the torture of the victims. And that, of course, can be considered the most horrific thing in regards to this serial killer we know as Rex Huerman, in regards to the things that he did during these cases. Just absolutely outrageous. And we're going to learn more and more as this case proceeds, but it's horrific what we learned yesterday, and everyone seems to wants to know everything about this case. Of course, every little piece of evidence. Is there anyone, I wonder, that follows this show that believes that Rex Huerman is innocent? I mean, there's always going to be some. And I just don't think that with the amount of evidence they have that anyone could believe that right now. I want to just play a quick another expert of Dr. Joni Johnson, and then we'll.
My question is, did she know what? You know, did she have suspicions that her husband maybe was seeing sex workers? Possibly. You know, I know there were certain parts of the house she wasn't supposed to go into. So clearly, I think she must have had some indication that something was not right, or he was secretive about some things. That's a long way to go from my husband is secretive, or he's keeping weapons in the basement. I don't want to see them, or whatever, or he's acting strange or whatever, to my husband is a, you know, sexually motivated serial killer who's picking up sex workers and torturing them to death.
But she passively allowed his behavior. And maybe, she was abused to the point where she was beaten down that she couldn't object to his behavior.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what kind of conversations they had. We don't know at some point, did she say to him, are you seeing sex workers or are you having an affair? We don't know what went on in their home and what kind of conversations they had.
100%.
So quite interesting.
The perfect person to ask is Bob Macedoni.
This off the screen, sorry. amazing. I'd like to more have Dr. Joni on again. She's just tremendous. So, guys, that was an update today on this, and we keep learning more and more things about this case. This case is fascinating. Although, whenever I reach this point in the show, I always want to remember that this case is about these four women on the screen: Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, Amber Costello. And just yesterday, we learned that it's about these two victims also: Jessica Taylor, Sandra Castilla. And sadly, we believe, Valerie Mack, we believe that is going to be the seventh shoe to fall. That shortly, I believe that Rex Schumann is going to be charged with that murder also. And Ray Tierney has plotted along meticulously, has made sure that the evidence exists to make an arrest and to slap another indictment on Rex Schumann. So I would think very shortly we will see the seventh indictment, of course, for Valerie Mack. So it's Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack. In fact, yesterday, it was a surprise to learn that one of the women in the indictment was Sandra Castilla. We had never heard her name before. And when we found out that the site of her murder was Southampton, Long Island, that put the scope of Rex Schumann's travel to much further east on Long Island. Jill Reed from the chat, the families of the serial killers victims are still being stalked by the people who are really behind it. They are the same people murdering the woman on the have. Jill Reed, I don't know anything about that. A Curious Charlie, Valerie Mack and Peaches and Baby Doe. You know, Curious Charlie, the Gilgo Beach Task Force is not going to stop until they have the evidence to charge those additional bodies that they still can't link to Rex Schumann at this time. But we believe they will at some point. Chris Iman, these victims were tortured unmercifully before being strangled or suffocated. He filmed the acts. Well, you know something, guys? Is there a potential for the fact that he had 275 electronic devices? Did the Gilgo Beach Task Force not yet discover the potential photographs he has? Because he took great pain to erase things, to erase hard drives, to erase photos. But as we see, he's made mistakes, right? He has absolutely made mistakes. So we may hear that soon, that they've uncovered pictures. Dolores Claiborne, failure of the investigators to catch him earlier. Yes, we will all admit, I will admit as a retired NYPD police sergeant, that the early days of the investigation into Gilgo Beach murders was horrible. Under the leadership of Chief James Burke, this case went nowhere. When we found out that he had one detective assigned to it, and not even full-time, how do you not assign an entire task force or a bunch of detectives to a serial killer? How do you not do that? Is there any police jurisdiction that would not do that? Talks to angels. How long did he live in his home? He grew up in that home. So pretty much his entire life he lived in that home, and he bought the home from his parents. So basically his whole life he lived there. He's 60 years old. So yeah, he's from that area. Grew up in Massapequa, Long Island. Moose Girl, oh wait, the brother killer is alive in the Israel case. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Marianne Birdie, is there an investigation pending out of state where he owned other properties? Marianne Birdie, the way that works is, yes, the task force, they're going to try to check every place that Rex Heumann has been to in the years in question, maybe even further back. Not so easy unless you have credit card records. There wasn't cell phones till what year did cell phones first come out? Maybe like 94, 95. I'm not even sure exactly. The internet. Things that create timestamps. Things that create location stamps. How do we know and how do investigators go about learning all the places that Rex Heumann traveled to in his life? Passports. You can bet that they have pulled up Rex Heumann's passport and his history of travel. There's one way, right? There's one way. But think of the exhausting nature of this investigation. Marie Henry from the chat, can the prosecution offer him a sweet deal so he can show where the bodies are buried? Marie Henry, they would never do that, ever, because closure, part of closure for this is to punishment. Is punishment that this savage gets. He's getting no deal. The only deal I could see is after conviction and after he's sentenced to 20 lives without parole, 20 life sentences, that they would offer him perhaps more privileges in prison in exchange for information. That is the only potential deal I could ever see that the prosecution would encourage a meeting up with his attorney, a deal cut. But he's getting no deal relative to upon conviction. If he gets convicted because he's innocent to proven guilty, will he be offered some deal in regards to privileges extended to him while he's in prison? That is the only deal this guy's getting. He's getting no consideration in regards to time. He's done. He's doing the rest of his life in prison. And he'll be a celebrity inmate somewhere. But guess what? Celebrity inmates like serial killers have targets on their back in prison. And the first guy that can stick a shiv in him will do so. But that's why they get such high-level security when they're in prison. So that is the only consideration I believe that Rex Heumann could possibly get. So, folks, we're going to stay with this show, of course, and I'll try to. Some of you guys are recommending get Dr. Joni. I would love to get Jim Clemente. He's been on my show once, and I'm going to see if Bobby Chacone could potentially make that happen because they're like best friends. And he is the he's the number one, I believe, serial killer profiler in the country. So, guys, I want to just thank everyone for tuning in today. This case is absolutely fascinating. And as we get new information on this case, Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories, Sergeant Bill Cannon will bring it to you. And all we ask is that you tune in and hit that subscribe button, ring that bell, share us with your friends and family, and hit the like button. So, folks, have a wonderful day today. I'll see you the next time. And God bless. One episode just ain't enough.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save.